Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 217, recorded on July 25th, 2014. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling comfortable.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable as well. I've got my fan going. I closed the window.
Awesome. And you sound fantastic.
I'm in my warm computer corner.
In your special place.
Yeah, it is. It's very special to me. Because it has the technology.
See?
And Adam Christensen is back.
I'm back. Not quite as usual.
Yeah.
Here, I guess.
Hey, you've been doing a lot of things. You now own two homes.
Life.
Currently.
Yes. Yeah. Temporarily. That's not a long-term thing.
Hey, someone want to buy a house?
Less people think that I'm made of money, which I'm not.
Yeah. Transitioning, but you have an awesome pool and an outdoor kitchen with beer.
Outdoor kitchen
that I'm going to go down and crash your birthday party tomorrow. Maybe.
Yeah, it is my birthday tomorrow.
I kind of
so happy birthday. Cool.
Thank you. And listeners have sent me awesome gifts. It's been a pretty good week.
Yeah, cool. So, Apple did a. Did they do another earnings call? Yeah. I don't even pay attention to that stuff anymore.
Michael's in school. He doesn't know what's going on.
Actually, it's summer vacation now.
Oh, well, then you should know what's going on. You're partying too hard.
As of today, it's summer vacation. Give me a break.
Oh, were you in finals?
Get off my back.
You were in finals then.
I was. Yeah, I had finals. Yeah,
no wonder you have no idea what's going on. Yes, they had a quarterly results call, and they made a crud ton of money.
Yeah.
Record June sales.
It's surprising. They never do that.
Or record June sales. Record third quarter sales.
Yeah.
Or revenue, right? Was it revenue or sales?
Probably revenue and sales.
It was revenue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Because it was 34.5 billion for,
I should pull up my show notes for
revenue.
Macast. I just covered this.
7.7 billion for actual
earnings.
Billions and billions.
So revenue and sales are the same thing. I'm an idiot.
Anyway, so the interesting thing, two interesting bits. So it's the second quarter that the iPad sales are down, but that's not bad. It's just that they're, you know, I mean, people don't upgrade.
No, that's bad.
Is it bad?
Yes.
Okay, it's
bad. That's bad. That's bad. And Tim Cook's lying about why it's happening, which is cracks me up.
What did he say?
Tim Cook said that people are holding off buying iPads because they're in anticipation of new iPads coming out.
Yeah, I would say that's nonsense.
Yeah, I think that's bunk.
Yeah, they're holding off for iPhones, but
they're holding off
but
for
I don't
iPhones.
Think so much for iPads.
Yeah.
No, my theory is because he said the answer, the real answer in another part when he was talking about the iPads, he said, you know, the iPads have like 97 to... I think they said the iPad Air has 100%, or was it the Air or the Mini, has 100% customer satisfaction when it comes to the iPad.
Air.
And that's the reason why Apple's not selling iPads.
Yeah, because there's no reason to buy another iPad because they're awesome already.
Exactly, and they don't break down. You don't have issues with them. I know tons of people who still have iPad 2s, and they're like, this is awesome. It works great. I love it. I love my iPad 2. I'm not buying a new one.
Yeah.
So that's Apple's problem. That's why iPad sales are declining.
It makes perfect sense.
They're too robust. Yeah.
Because they're too good. They should make them more shoddily.
Well, they can do that now since we already own our iPads.
Yeah, that's fine.
They're a victim. So, I mean, they'll get a bump when they get new iPads out. So I guess, you know, if he wants to pan it off that way. But, I mean, it's not... The sales are declining because it's a maturing product and it's a really good product and people aren't buying one. You know, most people, us... nerds and tech geeks excluded, aren't buying new ones every year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that for me anyway, a a giant selling point for me on a new iPad will be Touch ID. I don't have Touch ID on my phone, so because I'm still on the 5. But I'm sure that once I get the new phone with Touch ID, I will be so upset that it doesn't have Touch ID on the iPad.
iPad sales will be up huge again in Q4, which will prove what he was saying. But I still don't think that's going to be the reason. It's just there is a new one, so it's going to be all the fanboys. But then it'll immediately drop back down. You know, decline again until next year. Yeah. So this is going to be par for the course sort of cycle. You'll have a huge uptick in the holiday quarter, maybe a slight continuation through Q1 2015, and then Q2, Q3 will be declining iPad. But I don't think it's necessarily just anticipation. It's just maybe fanboys know new ones are going to come out and they're going to buy them regardless. They're not just waiting around, like they're not going, I'm not buying an iPad. They already have an iPad that they like.
Yeah.
And the other general consumers just aren't upgrading.
Right. Totally. And then the other interesting bit, they actually revealed how many iPads they have sold since the introduction. 225 million. It's a lot of iPads.
And it's going to curtail, apparently, in comparison to the iWatch.
Supposedly. But I guess we'll see about that. The 4.7-inch iPhone 6... we're seeing the ones with the shells, the rear casings with the ugly bands that we keep seeing.
Yeah.
Now we're seeing the Apple logo filled in with the nice chrome insert that they do on the iPads currently. And so now it seems like they're doing that in the iPhone. Makes perfect sense. And that's kind of what we've been anticipating.
Wait. Go back up. What are we seeing now?
On these fake / real / who knows case rear casings, yeah, we're seeing the Apple embeds now in them.
But are they plastic or?
No, I don't think they're plastic. I think they're chrome. You know what I'm talking about? The actual Apple logo.
Yeah, it's supposed to be light up, right?
No. That was dumb conjecture.
That's what you're saying. I don't think that's dumb conjecture. I think that would be cool.
It would totally be cool. Don't get me wrong. I think it'd be neat, but I don't think Apple's going to do it. The chrome...
You have notification stuff.
The chrome thing... Yeah, that'd be cool.
Multicolored LEDs, so you could assign colors to specific people.
And make a rainbow Apple?
Yes, even better.
That would be kind of fun if you could assign colored lights to different people. You can do that with Adobe Ink stylus. And that is a cool thing, but I don't think Apple's going to do
it. No, I don't think Apple's going to do it either, but they should, is what I'm saying.
They should, but they won't.
Yeah. And we need to go back to the quarterly results thing, because I think you skipped an important thing for this show.
What did we skip?
The fact that iPhone sales were up, which was kind of goes hand in hand with Tim Cook saying customers were holding off on iPads in anticipation, yet everybody knows there's a brand new, like, massive update to the iPhone 6, and everybody's anticipating that, yet Apple's sold more iPhones in the quarter.
That is kind of
year
crazy.
Year over year.
Although we're talking about the entire quarter, but then again, it's been news for a while. I mean,
right?
Who knows?
Well, it's I think it's emerging markets and it's some places where Apple's been doing some deep discounting and stuff like that, or incentivizing, I shouldn't say discounting, like subsidies and creative programs to get like India and China on iPhones. And Apple saw huge, huge growth in China over the quarter, which I think contributed a lot to that. So, and we kind of knew that was coming, but it was still surprising, you know, in a lead up quarter to a major new version of the iPhone coming out, I would have not expected sales to be up.
Yeah. No, you wouldn't expect that.
Yeah. Sorry. So I digress, but I thought that was important to point
out. It is interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think there's of course a lot of people who just don't care. They just want to get an iPhone and they don't care. And you know, there was that interesting video. It was the Jimmy Kimmel, right, who did the little skit where they went out on the street and with a Casio, $20 Casio.
What did they use?
They bought a $20 Casio watch, slapped an Apple sticker on the back, and went down Hollywood Boulevard, which is why that works.
Right.
Why this gag works. But they showed it to a bunch of people walking down the boulevard saying, hey, this is the new Apple iWatch. We have a sneak peek. You want to take a look? What do you think of it? And all these people were saying, wow, it's so cool. And they were like, do you like that it tells time? And do you like that it shows the calendar and that you can have an alarm? And they're like, yeah, this is really good. I would totally buy this. And it's really nice and light and durable. And there were a lot of people who were saying, I just love that there's an Apple logo on the back, and I would buy anything from Apple, which is totally hilarious.
But true.
It's true, yeah. I mean, I feel like the general population who have been, I mean, they're just going to buy anything from Apple because they have built up a...
it's a fashion brand.
Well, it's not only fashion, but they've had good experiences with it. If people have had bad experiences with Apple, they're not going to be as excited to get an Apple product.
It depends on the segment of population that you're talking about.
True. Declining intelligence.
There's a vanity. There's a whole vanity segment that is just like, I've got to have the thing with the Apple logo on it, you know. Yeah. And there is some of that element in Apple's Beats acquisition, right? I mean, that's a little bit of what they're buying, is a brand that people are going to buy no matter what. A certain segment of the market, that is.
Yeah.
Now, how many of the people in that video were just regular people? And how many of them were actors that were just saying stuff that that everyone knew would be funny?
I think they were regular people. I think what you're not seeing is they did 100 of those and they take the ten that were.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right.
Which is fine.
So creative editing, you can do all kinds of fun stuff. I'm sure there was percentage wise, if you were able to go behind the scenes, I would bet you, you know, that was 10% of the people they interviewed. I bet you another 90% are like, you're full of crap.
Yeah.
But there are gullible people out there.
Yep.
Believe it or not.
This is true.
This should not be shocking to anybody.
So
speaking of something like something that happened immediately when we closed on our house. I started getting all these. I got emails and I got postcards that said, oh, you have this is your third notice. You have a package that we're trying to deliver and we haven't been able to get a hold of you. And just call this number and so you can get your package. This is your final notice.
I get those spams on a regular basis.
This is an email?
Oh, I got postcards in the mailbox at my new place.
I immediately went
on, and it's like Snopes is like, no, total scam. The minute you call that number, it hangs up, and then somehow like reverse charges your phone bill like $15 or something.
That's a nice scam.
It's out of Malaysia, I guess. But they're just watching public record to see these things close, and then they send out these postcards, right? So, you know, but it works because people fall for this stuff.
Of course they do. Sadly.
Yeah,
it's lovely. Sometimes I feel like I should get into that business. There's got to be money in it.
Do you ever watch Scam School?
No,
I've never even heard of Scam School.
That's the what's his face, right?
Yeah, Brian.
Yeah, Brushwood. Yeah, I did the thing with the nail in your head.
Yeah,
that's the only one I did. We put Omar and I put jammed nails up our noses into our faces because we thought it'd be fun.
Human blockhead. Yeah, he teaches you like all kinds of bar scams you can do to do bar bets and make money.
Yeah.
I'm looking up Scam School right now.
I would not do the human blockhead.
I don't know if he's still doing the Scam School podcast, but he did it for a while.
Yeah.
And then I think he's moved on. He's now doing a cord cutters with Tom Merritt cord cutting podcast, which I haven't had an opportunity yet to watch, but I've heard it's excellent.
Yeah, I do that. You know, speaking of ridiculous mail, Charter, even though I have service with them, they continue to send me mail at least every week. And it's always a different, slightly different envelope, slightly different pitch at first, but it boils down to them continuously asking me if I want to get cable with them, and I already have it. And I love it.
That's sweet.
Hey, let's do the backdoor thing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So, what's his name? Jonathan
Colton.
Can't pronounce his last name. Zdzierski.
Forensics guy.
Yeah, you know, I think that he's also a jailbreak guy. So he talked about this.
Zdzierski.
Are you having a stroke, Adam?
I think I'm having a seizure.
Yeah, it's Welsh.
It's pronounced Jones. Anyway, so he talked about some exploits or backdoors rather at the Hackers on Planet Earth conference, and what this boils down to is there are a couple different services: LockdownD, PCAPD, and Mobile.File Relay, which allow data to go through unencrypted via USB, Wi-Fi, and he said potentially cellular as well. Pretty much any data on the phone, any user partition data. Apple has then addressed this claim, wanted to make sure that he didn't seem like he was freaking out about this. He wasn't entirely sure if this was a giant problem or not, but he was concerned about it and wanted to get it out there. And right. It was interesting that Apple responded very quickly to it.
Well, I don't know if that's...
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, security is a big priority.
This has been in the news. Yeah. They're going to be hypersensitive to... They have been hypersensitive to this stuff, and they've been trying to be completely transparent. And I think it's Zdzierski.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, I think he had a really good handle, like a Twitter handle for a long time, and I can't remember what it was, but I'm sure we've talked about this guy before. But anyway, so they have posted an article on their website since this happened, saying...
Apple has?
Yeah, Apple did. And they said what these three services do. And actually, they also talked about mobile.housearrest. Which is
what is that?
So the house arrest, they say, is used by iTunes for document transfers and by Xcode during app development and testing.
Why is it called house arrest?
I have no idea. But the overall...
Someone just probably thought it was funny.
Probably. That's probably exactly what happened.
Well, I love that it's for document transfer, which that's totally what iTunes document transfer feels like.
Maybe that's why.
So it's an inside joke.
Yeah. Well, the...
Right? Have you guys ever used...
Yeah,
transferring documents through iTunes.
It's absolutely like, horrible.
You're all locked inside like this little box.
And it's like Apple sat down and said, okay, so if Microsoft were to try and do this through Windows, it would be horribly convoluted.
No, they would squirt it.
They would squirt it, yeah. And then they're like, how could we do it worse?
Anyway, so the overall message that they're trying to send here is this. Each of these diagnostic capabilities requires the user to have unlocked their device and agreed to trust the computer. And it says that any data transmitted between the iOS device and trusted computer is encrypted with keys not shared with Apple. For users who have enabled iTunes Wi-Fi sync on a trusted computer, these services may also be accessed wirelessly by that computer. So the PCAPD is diagnostic packet capture for a trusted computer used for diagnosing app issues and enterprise stuff. And then the file relay is used on internal devices and can be accessed with user permission by AppleCare for diagnostic purposes.
Yeah, but see, I think used by AppleCare for diagnostic. See, I think part of his thing that he was commenting on is like, if this is all diagnostic and like debugging stuff, why is this on in production, you know, like in the release version? Because a lot of this does feel like it's just for these kinds of purposes.
No, but I think it's perfectly legitimate. I think it's legitimate. Yeah. I mean, for AppleCare, of course it makes perfect sense.
But I think that's what threw up his red flag. He's like, why? This looks like it's all like, you know, logging and reporting stuff that would normally be developer based. And I think he even commented on that in his piece when I read it, you know, that like, it just seems odd. Like, why is this on when it seems like it's more on the diagnostics side of things? Like it's revealing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
which I think made it seem a little suspicious.
Certainly.
Well, yeah, it certainly looks suspicious. But if Apple were to intentionally mislead people as to what these services do, that would be very, very bad, because eventually it would come out and they would lose their customer trust, and you'd probably see lawsuits start happening almost immediately.
Yep.
You also have to think logically. I mean, what's the upside to Apple unless they're being threatened by the government in some way? There's really no upside for them to have this stuff be open, or to have this kind of data being flowing back and forth. Like, they have right. no incentive to sort of help law enforcement break into people's phones.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I don't know. And maybe that's, you know, some people might go, well, you're naive, right?
Well, yeah.
Well, I can see where some people might think I'm naive. But on the other hand, having worked in the government in the past, in law enforcement.
Right.
I just don't see companies, especially companies like Apple, just opening up these back doors carte blanche. And even if they did, these law enforcement agencies wouldn't know what to do with the stuff. And in many cases, wouldn't be able to get at it anyhow.
Yeah. Good point. So Apple has released another beta of iOS 8, of course. And I guess there are a few interesting things in there.
I just want to know if it's stable enough for me to start upgrading my production things yet.
I don't know. I just threw it on my iPad. It's actually reinstalling all my apps.
Your day-to-day iPad?
Yeah. Well, I only have one.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that would be a big yes.
I don't have two houses.
Have you been running beta on your day-to-day iPad since it was released, or is this the first time you've installed it?
This is like the third or fourth time, because every time I put it on there, I get upset.
So then it's not ready.
Well, I don't know about this one.
Beta 3 wasn't.
I think I might have put beta 3 on there. It wasn't working. We'll see about this one. Main purpose is because I want to... Every time I have a situation where I have to enter a password with 1Password... I'm like, I really wish I had that beta on here. And so I try
it. So
again.
Now you do.
We'll see what happens. But it's buggy as well.
Oh, are you... Because 1Password just released their extension thing?
Yeah, they're working on their extension, and I'm in the beta program.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. And the last time I tried it, it didn't work very well. But for what it's worth, a very interesting thing to point out... So it does work in Safari, right? But the extensions also go beyond just Safari. They go to any app that allows the share panel actions menu.
Sure.
So, and that's something that wasn't very clear to me. I wasn't sure if it was just, you know, you can only do this within system things, but that
depends
means,
on which extension they're leveraging, right?
Right, exactly. So
they're using the share panel thing, huh?
Well, it's the little arrow.
Are you breaking your NDA right now?
No, I didn't sign anything, and they told me don't talk about certain things, but I'm not doing that. But anyway, it came out already. So, long story short, if other apps allow the action set of the share panel mm-hmm. within their app, then 1Password will totally work within that as well.
It's gonna be so cool.
Yeah, and they also have integration with the Touch ID.
Can I just say I love the new Apple?
It is pretty great.
Yeah, I'm really happy with this new, kinder, more open Apple.
Yeah,
and I also just am, you know, it just vindicates the whole episode I did years ago when. You know, everybody was being hypercritical of, you know, can Tim Cook step into Steve Jobs' shoes? And I just said, you know, this is Tim Cook's Apple, and you need to let Tim Cook be Tim Cook.
Right.
And judge him for what he does, not, you know, sort of can he fulfill whatever vision you think Steve had for the future of Apple. And so just seeing that sort of come to reality and you know, happen is kind of really cool to watch.
Yeah. But again, you know, it still is Apple, right? And it's not fully open the way that we want it in our dreams. Like, I'm sure we're not going to be able to use the 1Password extension in the App Store for signing in, or
I don't want it to be fully open. I think certain segments of the community do. You do, I'm sure.
No, like Android?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to like that. That sounds like hell.
Yeah, that's just a hot mess waiting to happen.
That sounds like, I could just get Android. If I wanted that, I could go to Android, which is funny because the, you guys probably saw the Samsung ad, right? With the Screen Envy ad. Jeez Louise.
they're already worried about the
iPhone
6.
The setup of the thing is there are two guys in a coffee shop, one guy with a Samsung, a Ginor phone, and another guy with an iPhone, and he's like,
Gigantophone.
Yeah, and the iPhone guy is like, oh, dude, did you hear that they're going to, the next iPhone might have a bigger screen? And the other guy's like, yeah, that's cool, man. I already have a bigger phone. You know, you could have gotten a bigger phone if you just got a Samsung.
And the Apple guy said, but then my operating system would suck.
No, he didn't say that because it's a Samsung commercial, Adam.
But the commercial's message is twofold. The first message is, hey, guys, Apple's about to release a new phone.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the second message is, holy crap, we're really worried how we can compete against something that is still only a rumor.
Well, you know, the funny thing, though, about it is it's like it's saying, hey, I know you guys didn't know it. You guys didn't know before, but Samsung makes bigger phones, as if people didn't know that. You can walk into a store and plainly see that. I think most people understand that, and they made their choice for other reasons other than screen size.
I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, Apple, they should at least send Samsung a fruit basket as a thank you.
Yes.
Apple doesn't have to do any advertising.
Totally did their ad for them.
Yeah. So we were talking about the iOS 8 beta 4. So there are a couple other neat things in here.
What's good in there?
There's a tips app, which is, I like this. So it gives you weekly tips, letting you know that you can do certain neat things with iOS. Like I'm looking through it right now. One of them is like, notify me when there's a reply to this email, which is,
I don't like that it's a first class citizen app.
Yeah, but I mean, what else could they do, right? They want it on there for less savvy users.
I don't, you know, I think
it could be a setting. And when you set up your iPhone initially, one of the questions that asks you is, hey, would you like us to push out weekly tips to you?
That's much nicer than what I would have said. I was going to say, are you a dummy? Yes, no.
Why can't Apple, I mean, pre-install it, but just not have it be a first-class citizen app? Why does it have to be unremovable? Like, put it in there, that's fine, but make it also removable for the people who just decide, you know what, I don't need that. I don't need those tips. Because then you got to do the whole stupid hide it, you know, on the fourth screen in some weird folder sort of thing, which is just dumb. I don't know what they've got against the pre-installing, unless they're just worried that they're going to get the rap that, again, Android gets with the crapware. But I think it's worse to have stuff that certain consumers consider useless that's unremovable.
Yeah, like the podcast app. Can't get rid of that.
Try as you might.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, iBooks is a great app, but I can accept the fact that some people probably don't want it. Why not just let them remove it?
Yeah,
I mean,
you're
go ahead and pre-install it. That's fine. You know, I don't think Apple's apps are crapware. I don't think any of them. I mean, even the podcast app. I'm using the podcast app more and more. It's gotten a lot better. And I'm actually preferring it as my player in a lot of instances.
Well, maybe we'll see that as an option in the next beta update, but I doubt it. They probably would have announced that at WWDC. That's a pretty big feature.
Okay, here's what they could do. Why not just take the tact of Apple TV and allow you to hide it then?
That'd be nice. I'd like that.
That would be nice too. I'm really surprised we can't hide, I'll call them core apps.
Yeah.
Maybe they just figure you're going to make a folder and throw it off to the last page.
Well, yeah, well, for a long time we didn't even have folders, but that's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
But then I think it's called the Apple crap folder.
Taking up space, and especially if you're running out of space, it's just annoying. Like, just let us remove it. I mean, pre-install it, let us remove it. It's simple, but I don't know.
Yeah, anyway.
I digress. It does look like a cool app, though. I would probably actually leave it on there for a little bit, because you can always learn something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So the control center has been redesigned slightly. It looks neat. At first I thought that looks dumb, but I think it looks pretty neat. And something that's not new to beta 4, I think it's new to beta 3, and I don't think I saw anybody talk about this, but the brightness control within the control center works so much better now. So as it is currently, you bring up control center and the background, the home screen or whatever, is darkened because your focus is on the control center, right? Mm-hmm. But when you go ahead and change your brightness, you flick down on the control center, you're like, oh man, that's way brighter than I expected, because you adjusted the brightness kind of based on that background being dark.
Right. The translucency, right?
And what they've done now is when you tap on and hold the brightness control, when you're messing with brightness, they get rid of the dark overlay over the screen. So you know exactly what it's going to look like when you leave control center.
So basically they made it the way it should have been from the beginning.
Yeah, but it's a nice little Apple touch. One of the classic Apple attention to detail thing, although it's late, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I would call it attention to detail since it wasn't there from the beginning.
Well, maybe Samsung might not have ever thought of it. Give him credit.
The emoji keyboard icon is happier.
Is he?
Yay.
Oh, he is really happy. Wow. are there more emojis in now? Some of the new
I don't know.
Emojis?
Somebody released those Seinfeld emojis.
Are there Seinfeld emojis?
Yes.
Of course there are.
That's awesome.
I think you have to have the app, the app installed though.
Okay.
To like get them.
Yeah, they changed the display settings around a little bit. So they moved brightness from the wallpaper thing, and then they put text size and bold text in the display and brightness settings panel. That's neat. Wallpaper, I guess, still has brightness. It's just, so it's duplicated. And they have different icons. That's interesting.
See, I'm wondering if it's duplicated just because it's beta.
Probably beta situation.
By the time it's done, there won't be redundant settings.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Why is the Safari bookmark icon an open book page instead of like an actual like bookmark?
That's a really good question.
Maybe they've played with it and it just doesn't look right. I don't know. Whatever. But they changed it. They tweaked that slightly.
It never looks like it looks like a paper airplane to me or something. I don't know. It looks like an open page, not a bookmark. But
yeah, well, I think it still says bookmarks to most people. Messages, I guess there's streaming or live typing with talk to text or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Sweet.
Where you dictate.
Yes.
And so it's live dictation.
Live.
There you go. That's what I wanted to say. Live dictation.
Live dictation.
A bunch of other tweaky.
You talk little, it types.
Yeah. And you can change the settings for the swipe options in Mail. So you can say whatever swipe left does and whatever swipe right does.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's
nice.
Very nice.
And I don't know. There are a bunch of other little tweaky things. You can look at the show notes, but it's hardly worth mentioning. They're just, beta stuff.
I just, like I said, my main thing I'm trying to find out and watch is how close are we getting to a really stable enough to actually maybe put on my, I don't think I'd put it on my phone yet, but I'm kind of maybe willing to put it on my iPad, which I don't rely on quite as heavily.
Yeah, that's.
For like day-to-day stuff.
That's kind of how I roll with things.
Yeah, that's what I'll do too. I won't put betas on my iPhone because I consider that a mission critical device.
It is.
I usually, when they get down to, one or two releases out from the what would be considered the final release. I've messed with my phone at that point.
It seems as though I've been signed out of a lot of my apps. That's not nice. Like my third-party apps.
Yeah. The thing about iOS, for me, to actually install it, you kind of also need to be running because it has such tight integration with Yosemite.
Yeah.
It almost feels like you really, to get the full experience, you need to have both running, and I can't. I absolutely can't put Yosemite on my production Mac. There's
extra
no
partition.
Huh?
Another partition.
Yeah, I have a MacBook Air that I'm using as my Yosemite test platform,
That's what I'm doing too.
Yeah. Okay. Second machine.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's. Oh, well, there are a bunch of neat things for the integration. So the iTunes. We talked about the iTunes logo. How it's still. It's not red on Yosemite, and now it is with the latest beta. They put out iTunes Beta 12. It's pretty interesting. I played with it a little bit.
Yeah, they got the red icon now. It looks like music, though, but it's not music. It's still iTunes.
Yeah, maybe they'll change the name. No, they won't.
They can't, because they have more than music in it. So unless they're going to separate in Yosemite the video app and the... What else we got in there? The podcast app is already separated.
You know, I think if that was going to happen...
That's right, it's not. So you'd have to have the podcast app for Mac. You'd have to have the video app for Mac. And you'd have to move movies and TV shows into the video app, and you'd have to move podcasts into the podcast app. Books have already been moved out, so.
Right, but if that was going to happen, I think it would have happened with the public beta.
Yeah, it would have been announced at WWDC. Yeah. So it's funky because now you've got the match, sort of a matching icon, which I guess is good visually for people as they're transitioing back and forth. But yeah, being stuck with that iTunes label is got to be something that bugs Apple as much as it bugs the rest of us, I think.
It doesn't really bug me.
It's bugged me for a while now because it's gone so far beyond music and iTunes.
Well, the app is sucky, but yeah. I mean, the fact that they call it iTunes doesn't bug me. Here's something that will probably bug a lot of people, and I'm not entirely sure on what to make of it, but in the latest beta, when you go to open iPhoto, it says, basically, it seems like they're saying that the new Photos app, so they're saying that we're ditching iPhoto, we're moving the Photos app, iPhoto won't work on iOS 8, you can transition all your stuff, but you won't get journals, books, or slideshows anymore. They're just getting rid of those.
Fine by me.
The never journals, used any of I that. Never use the journals. I like the idea of the books, although I've never done that. Slideshows, don't think I've ever done a slideshow, but I like that feature. It's kind of a...
Sure.
It's something that I'm sure a lot of people do use.
Yeah, it turns out that's something my dad uses.
Oh, he uses slideshows?
Now, I'll read the actual prompt from iOS 8. So I'm looking at 9to5 Mac right now, but the prompt leads me down a slightly different path, and it says... iPhoto is not supported on iOS 8. You can migrate iPhoto data to photos, layouts, and text added to books, journals, and slideshows will not be available.
Wait, layouts and text?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like it's all going away.
Right.
It's just your stuff's not going to transition.
Right.
So that sounds like to me like the features are maybe in the Photos app, but it's not going to be able to migrate the stuff over.
Or it's implemented in a different way.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So where it can't be migrated, but it sounds like you may still be able to create a new slideshow in the new app. And maybe you can also still create a book in the new app, but you just won't be able to bring your old stuff along for the ride. Stuff you've already laid out.
That'll
piss a lot of people off.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. But at least they're warning you.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Problem is no one's going to read that.
They're going to say, okay.
And then they're going to go, what the?
Yeah. What? Well, at least it's not one of those yes, no dialogues. It's a three button prompt. So it's not like you just press the.
Right.
Yeah.
Still, you're going to have pissed people. They're going to be like, I lost all my books.
Yeah.
I had 500 of them saved.
Yeah, and that person's going to be really old, though, too. That person with 500 books. I do like the ability to order prints of photos. That's really nice. I do that occasionally. And the postcards are nice. Have you ever done those cards that Apple makes?
Yes.
They're really nice.
Yes, they are. Like, yeah, if you show up at an event, like a birthday or something, and that's what you give someone, your card is one that everyone looks at and goes, oh my God, that is so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. My girlfriend did a card for her mom's birthday. I know it was Mother's Day. And I was like, I hate you because now my mom is getting this like way less cool card than your mom. And I wanted to steal her idea because she took a photo of us that we took here and put that on the card. And it just looked so nice and personalized.
Yeah. So. And they just look awesome.
Yeah. I like them. I hope they don't get rid of those. Netflix for Apple TV finally has the Up Next feature, which a lot of people have been looking forward to. And I think we talked about maybe 6 months ago. I would guess that it was about 6 months ago that there was a story where someone contacted Netflix support and the support rep said that, yes, it's coming. I guess it took a while. But apparently. Now it's there.
But there wasn't any need for software updates or anything to make it happen.
I guess not.
For me, I was watching shows one day on Apple TV, and then the next night, I'm watching again, and it was just there working.
That's pretty nice. So it automatically plays, or do you have to press a button?
No, it's automatic. You just sit back, and that's it. You just sit back. But if you want to disable that, because there are some people that that really don't want to have shows auto-playing, you have to go to the website and go into your account settings there and disable it.
Oh, you can't do it from the Apple TV?
No.
Oh, that sucks.
Yes, it does.
It does suck.
Can you do it from the iOS app?
Nope. You have to go to the website. That's the only way to do it. And you have to go into your account settings on the website.
You also have to go to the website to change your quality settings, too.
That's weird.
Which can cause you huge problems if you have bandwidth caps on your cable. But I think we've talked about that on the show before.
Yeah. Netflix is weird, though. I need to get another Apple TV. Are we thinking that we're going to ever get a new Apple TV? It's been like 500 some days or something since they put out a new Apple TV.
What would you want in a new Apple TV?
I don't know. The new fancy gaming features.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, that I probably won't use because I'm not a gamer. So I'm an idiot for not just getting another Apple TV.
They're only like $80.
I know. Is that for a new one or a refurb?
I think new ones you can get for that, can't you? If you find
places. Watch for specials. Look on Amazon.
Yeah, it's been 870 days, according to the MacRumors Buyer's Guide. That's more days than ever.
What you need to do, Michael?
What?
You need to buy one, and then the new one will come out.
You're right. That's
You do that because I'd be cool upgrading now.
It's my fault.
Yeah, this is all your
fault. This is the curse on me now.
Yeah.
And I need to break the curse.
Within a month of you buying yours.
I'm sure.
Apple will have a new one.
Well, if it's within 20 days, then I can get
it will be 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay. But isn't it 20 days?
They have to make sufficiently sure that you got screwed.
Yeah.
And then they're like, ha ha.
They actually have a whole department devoted just to making sure that you, Michael, get screwed.
Here's the four.
Actually, you know what? I don't think they have a department, or it's not working properly, because a friend of mine, when he was moving out of state, he was cleaning out his drawers and he found a first-gen iPod Nano that did not work at all. And he just kind of said, hey, do you want this? And I said, sure. Yeah, I'll take that because it's neat. You know?
Sure.
Because I can get it on warranty, repair a brand new one.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize that at the time. So I kept it in my drawer for like 4 years. And some nice person on Reddit mentioned that, hey, that recall from 2011 still works. And I just got a brand new current gen iPod Nano for free. So I requested the box on a Friday. I got the box on a Monday, sent it out the same day, and I got the new iPod on a Wednesday.
That's awesome.
That's really awesome.
And they included a Lightning to 30 pin adapter.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I'm probably gonna sell the Nano because we don't want it.
Because Nano.
Because yeah, I mean it's neat. I love the design. It's really cool. But I just don't need it. So I'll sell that, and I'll buy the Apple TV with that.
Yeah, that was the other thing we didn't mention. iPod sales were down 36%.
I'm very surprised.
No, you're not.
Oh wait. Yeah, no, I'm not. The iPod Touch...
Michael forgot. It's not opposite day.
Yeah. Is the iPod Touch included in that number? Because I feel like the... Mm-hmm. I feel like the Touch is still pretty popular, right? Or no?
It probably... if you were able to... they don't break down the percentage of which iPods are selling and which aren't. So it wouldn't surprise me if iPod Touch sales continue to be either kind of level or, you know, not declining as rapidly as other iPods. But... frankly, I think, you know, with convergence, most people are just using their smartphone for all that.
Well, I think it's
previous sure. iPod functionality. So it's going to just continue to decline. I don't think Apple's going to get rid of the product anytime soon.
No.
I think it's just, you know, it's just past that stage of its life. It's just like that. I can never remember from my economics courses what is just beyond cash cow stages. You know, there's like that decline tail.
A fat cash cow?
No, there's terms for it.
Okay, whatever.
It sort of approaches end of life, but I think it's still quite a ways from end of life. I mean, we're going to have iPods for a bit longer, but you know, Apple's not going to do much with the line. There's you know, I wouldn't be waiting around for upgrades or anything like that. You know, they might increase the storage here and there, or do little tweaks as technology makes it feasible, but there's not going to be any big new features in iPods.
Well, I think it's one of those things that I think the primary market is kids.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Especially with the touch.
Yeah.
But younger kids. I mean, the thing is kids are getting cell phones, you know, at 11, 12.
Yeah, which is absurd, but we won't get into that.
I don't think it's so absurd.
Okay. So, yeah, there's that. And do we want to talk about Apple potentially implementing a pay solution? Supposedly, according to the information, they say, and this is a website, the information, they say that they're in talks with credit card companies over their wallet feature that may come this fall.
Are they saying it's tied to NFC?
No. And they're saying that it will be involving the secure enclave. So they'll use that
to Touch ID.
The thing that Touch ID uses, yeah.
Yeah, then, I mean, that's a bit more legitimate. I mean, I would think that would be the route that Apple is taking. I still maintain that really Apple just needs to roll their Easy Pay system out to other partners.
Well, and they may very well do that. This could be part of the
that's
whole
what
master
I would hope.
Plan.
Yeah.
Master cleanse? Is that what you said?
I want to go to the grocery store. I want to go to the grocery store and just scan everything into my cart and then just walk out.
That's not going to work. That is not going to work.
That
I would love.
That
to
would
be
able the future
that
I want.
That'll probably work in places
and
like...
have it just charged to my iTunes account. Seriously?
Yeah. No.
Joking.
Yeah.
You're
totally
laughing,
gotcha.
But no. I mean, I want to have my Apple Easy Pay experience that I do in Apple retail stores. I want to have that everywhere. I want to have that at the grocery store.
But that's,
I mean, that'll be the last thing that happens, but I want it to go that far.
Yeah, it's not going to work in a lot of places.
Well, you know, that's what people said with the self-checkout stands.
Yeah, my Costco.
Well, that won't work in a lot of places. And
has a system like that. They're beta testing at a Costco near me. You walk in and you take your card up to this. They have this rack of handheld scanners.
Oh.
You swipe your Costco card and it checks out a scanner to you. And then as you walk around the store, as you're putting stuff in your cart, you scan it. And then when you get up to the front for self-checkout, it's already all run through. You hand over the scanner, they plug it in, you pay, and you leave. So really, they just need to take the payment step out, you know, and have it automatically charged to some account that I have. And that's really the system.
There you go.
Yeah. And then you just have one person by the door sort of looking at the cart going, yep, this looks good.
Looks like a cart full of stuff.
Sure. Yeah. And you can take away the scanner you have to check out by using your iPhone camera.
Yeah. We're not that far away. It could happen.
I'm totally with you. I think it can, and I think it will happen.
And think about this. With iBeacon, if you've scanned stuff in and for some reason, you know, then it could detect when you've left the store and then kick off the auto billing, that sort of stuff.
Sure.
And it knows which store you were at and where you went in the aisles, and they can kind of double check against the stuff that you said you scanned in.
That might work. Yeah, there. I mean, there might be a solution. I think it'll still take a while, though.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, I think that's it. Unless you guys have anything else to talk about, I think we're going to do our picks.
Oh.
Do you want me to go first because I actually have one?
Yeah, go.
Yeah, go for it. I'll find something real quick here.
All right. So this is it's an app that's been around for a little while, but I just recently realized how useful it can be. And it's the Oloclip camera app. Oh. So if you have Oloclip lenses, the company Oloclip made a companion app to go along with that, so that and it's set up so that when you're using like the wide angle lenses and stuff, where you're going to get distortion in the images, it compensates for that, so you don't have to deal with it later.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it works really well. And if you've already taken photos with your Oloclip lenses, but you didn't use this app, you can go ahead and pull them into the app and it will correct them as well. So you can fix old photos that you've taken.
That's nice. That's a good feature.
Yeah. And it works well. It's easy to use. And there you go. And it's free. So if you have Oloclip lenses, you should just go download the Oloclip camera app too.
I'm going to try that out.
I should have picked something that I would talk about longer to give you more time to.
No. I've got the perfect thing. I was just double checking to make sure I hadn't picked it in the past.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, do you guys play Minecraft at all? Probably not.
Nope.
No, but I know people that do.
Minecraft is rocking awesome on iOS, and the version that's on iOS is actually called Minecraft Pocket Edition.
Yep.
Minecraft PE. And they have a whole peer-to-peer thing, so you can turn on like a local networking sort of server where one of the games acts as a server, and then other people within your same Wi-Fi network can connect to it. And they're also releasing, I think they call them, I can't remember, they have a name for them, that they have a server that you can actually get if you're in their like alpha program, so that you kind of have a server that's online somewhere and running all the time, but they're cool, except you can't get into the program and they're incredibly limited and you can't get one, blah, blah, blah.
So, why doesn't someone just make a Raspberry Pi Minecraft server thing?
They do. That's the thing. That's my pick.
Oh, I really wasn't trying to set you up on that. It just came to me.
I know you weren't.
Would be a good thing.
So there's a project called PocketMine at pocketmine.net. And it actually is a Pocket Edition server that you can install. You can use. I'm using my old Mac Mini to play around with this. And the reason is because it actually runs PHP and like Apache server. I mean, it's just like a web server that's sort of running all this. Now, consequently, it's a bit buggy and it doesn't support all the latest features. So it's definitely, they're in alpha right now. The actual release is alpha, and it's very much alpha. But the fact that it works at all, and you can kind of play around with it, is just incredible to me. It's really, really fun. So you can set up a server in your own house, and they do have a build that will actually run on Raspberry Pi. So if you want to set up a Raspberry Pi Pocket Mine server for Pocket Edition Minecraft on your iOS devices, you totally could do it. And that's it also so cool. has an extension system. So they do have APIs, and like third-party developers can add on new functionality and plugins and stuff like that. And it's a relatively active community. There's a, kind of a few core guys that are doing the code, so it's been a bit slow to get updated and things like that. But I think it's because a lot of people don't even know this project exists. So you can go, they have a GitHub. If you want to add code or, you know, become a contributor, you can issue pull requests and all that sort of stuff. I've just started playing around with it, and it's really neat that it exists at all. So
yeah.
PocketMine.net, and you can now have your own, run your absolute own PocketMine server. And again, it is alpha. Just so I will let people know there's a lot of bugs, and mainly performance bugs. So there's weird like drawing issues. Sometimes it takes a long time for stuff to render. And I think it's because it's running in PHP, so it's a little funky. So they need to work on a lot of optimization sort of get a lot of the bugs worked out. But again, it's just really cool that it works at all, because they have no support. You know, it's totally unofficial, no support from, I can never say the name of the company right, Mojang, I think is how you pronounce it. Mojang is the company that makes Minecraft. And so check it out, pocketmine.net. And again, you can check out the GitHub if you want to get sort of more involved and look at the code and fork it and do all that fun stuff if you're a developer.
That's kind of crazy really that cool. They're using PHP, though.
It's super crazy. It's super crazy. That's like I said. Like, it's just, I think that's how they made it work. I don't know how the official servers work or anything either, so maybe it's not all that crazy.
They must be like Facebook people. So aren't they the only people who use PHP is Facebook? Facebook no. And me
I have this thing running on my old Mac Mini Core Duo, not even a Core 2 Duo, and dang. it runs great. It's really fun. So now I don't have to, you know, I just have it running, so I don't have to have it saved out on my Mac, or on my iPad. I can just go back to all the stuff that I was building on my own little server.
Cool. So my pick is one that I just downloaded like 20 minutes before the show. And it's only 20 minutes before the show because I took like 20 minutes after I downloaded it. We were talking about it because it's actually pretty cool. It's the Overcast app. And who does this? Who?
Marco Armont.
Yes.
The guy who did Instapaper and does a bunch of podcasts. Yeah, Marco. Incredible iOS Apple developer.
Yeah,
and
so you know
a lot of people were really waiting for this thing to come out. I bought it the minute, and it's free actually to download.
Has he been talking about it coming out for a while?
But, yeah.
No, it's good because you've actually used it for more than 20 minutes. I've barely used it. But so it's a podcasting app that has quite a few modern good features. It has 30 second skip back and forward, speed increases, continuous playback, which is very important, a podcast directory. You can import your stuff from other podcast apps as well as export if you don't like it. And it's free to get the basic features. It seems pretty good. But when you pay I think it's $5, right?
$4.99, yeah.
Yeah, so when you do that, let's see here if I can find the unlock everything.
In-app purchase.
Yeah, so $5.
All the advanced features.
It does cellular downloads, variable playback speed, smart speed to shorten silences. So it, as Adam was describing to me earlier, it removes the pauses between people speaking, but it does not increase the speed of the actual voices.
That's not distort the audio. So yeah. So unlike going to like 2x or 5x or, you know, whatever your podcatcher has, it's just going to speed past the silent parts of the audio, but keep the voices normal. So you get a quicker podcast listen. You know, it shortens the overall length of the podcast without distorting the audio, which is pretty amazing. And it works pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like one of those features that, if it does work, it sounds magical.
Yeah, and it updates you as you're watching it, so it'll give you a variable. You know, so you know how when you go into 2x mode, it'll say 2x, when you're using the smart speed thing, it'll kind of fluctuate. So it'll be like 1.2x at one point. If there's a really long pause, it might jump up to 2.5x. And, you know, so you can actually see it dynamically sort of up speeding up things and slowing things down as appropriate.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat. Yeah, so one of the things that is a little bit strange about it, though, is because it has that feature, it also has one thing that I'm really excited about is a voice boost.
Which normalizes
the audio, because that is just one of the most frustrating things, especially if you're like in the car. You have to, you know, you crank the volume way up, and then someone gets up on their mic and says something really loudly, and it's just ridiculous. But the point is of this, the point I'm trying to make is that you have to download everything. There's no streaming, and that is
no streaming currently,
but that's because of all the fancy, audio features. I'm sure they have to just download it to make that. You can also do per podcast effect settings, which is nice. There's 1x1 playback if you want that, so you don't get the continuous thing happening. You get a sleep timer, unlimited playlists, and episodes in the playlists. And of course, you're supporting Marco in his
endeavors. It has the core features I think that most people would want. I think I mentioned in the show my only disappointment. And it's only, I mean, this is really only me because I do an enhanced podcast, but it does not currently, again, have enhanced podcast support. I don't know if it ever will or not, just based on the volume of podcasts that are actually enhanced, which there's only a tiny, tiny faction of us. So, you know, I don't necessarily fault that. It's frustrating for me as somebody who puts the time in to do that, that so few apps support it. But hey, that's a personal gripe. That the app is actually really beautiful. They have a nice little audio waveform that plays too at the bottom of the album art. I don't know if you've played a podcast in it yet, Michael.
That's pretty cool the way that works.
Nice little visual touch. So there's a bunch of those little visual niceties that are in there.
Well, then talk about the social thing, because that was probably the
social thing is really cool. So for syncing, they have their own syncing system, and I think having their own syncing system also enables them to add in the social piece, which has been, for the longest time, with all the podcatchers, I've never seen a podcatcher do the thing that I would want it to do, which is I like to get recommendations from my friends. So, you know, shows that they like or shows that they listen to are the ones that I would love to know about, and there's nobody's kind of come up with a solution for this. So this is all about discovery. So one nice thing that they did is if you're listening to an episode and you let it, you know, sort of attach to your social media account, your Twitter account, what have you, you can actually star favorite different shows or different episodes. And then anybody that is following you will actually see those as recommendations. So they'll get ranked. So when you go into the podcast directory, I forget what it's called. It's called like friends recommend or something like that, I think is the section. I can't remember specifically.
Recommended from Twitter, I think it is.
There you go. Recommended from Twitter. And so what it's picking up from there is anybody that you're following on Twitter that's using Overcast and starring different shows, I think this is the way it works, is that's what's going to show up there for you. So it's just going to be people that you follow and people that are using and favoriting stuff in the Overcast app. So you get this nice sort of recommendation list from, hopefully people you know, if they're people you're following.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hoping this is just the start of it. I'm hoping it gets to the point where maybe it can support lists and maybe some more sort of deeper filtering. So I can look at maybe the people that are in my, just my Mac list and the people that are in my photography list and see, because those would be very different kinds of podcasts that those people would be favoriting. So,
you know, considering who developed the app, I think it's very likely we'll see useful and highly wanted features like that.
Yeah.
And I don't have insider knowledge. I think it's likely that will happen.
Yeah. It's that the discovery part of podcast apps has been, I haven't seen anybody doing anything in that space. And I thought for the longest time, somebody really needs to come out with a podcatcher that addresses this in some way. And so it's nice to see this one actually, you know, doing at least something,
right?
You know,
yeah,
making a start at it to show, you know, a way to make discovery better than just a giant directory that you're totally lost in.
Yep. has potential for sure. We'll see how well it works out. It's one of those things you have to go in. You have to say, oh, I want to add a podcast. You press the add podcast button.
Yep.
And it shows up at the top. So you'd have to, as far as I know, you have to actively seek it out. But I guess, you know, in a situation where you're like, oh, I've expired all my podcasts. I want to hear something. Let's see what my friends are recommending. Then maybe you can find something that way. And we'll see. I mean, I'll play with it.
It's pretty good because I'm looking at this one, and, you know, for mine. And it's got Grammar Girl on there, which I've never subscribed to, but often thought. And I've listened to a few of those episodes. It's a great podcast.
They're awesome. It's a fantastic show.
Coco Radio, which I know Scott. And, you know, because I do development stuff, that's totally relevant for me. Back to Work, which, so maybe I'm not currently subscribed to Back to Work. I love Back to Work. So like a lot of the recommendations look like totally right in my wheelhouse based on the people that I would be following on Twitter, which is kind of awesome.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not seeing anything from you on here.
Well, people got to use Overcast and favorite my episodes. I just put out a new episode, though, so too. So I think, you know, this is also going to trend and change as podcasts come out with new episodes, things like that.
Yep. Okay. So that's it for us. You can find us in iTunes, of course, rate the show. We really appreciate that. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is still the address. I need to sort that out. But, of course, the iosshow.com is where you can find all of the show notes, our picks, and everything else. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. And Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, at jgamet on Twitter. And the TMO Daily Observations podcast is another podcast of many that you can find Jeff on.
I kind of get around, don't I?
You do. Yeah. We were all going to be... Was Jeff, were you included on the Mac show? We were going to be on... You know, I think it was Adam and Dave and me and a couple other people. We were going to be on that, but then it got canceled.
Oh, right. Yeah, it got canceled.
It was going to be a party.
You know, we could still have a party. This is like a party right here.
It is. But I still feel like I should go down to Adam's house and crash his birthday party.
I think you should. And give Adam a hug for me. That's just a little bit too long, so it's just slightly awkward.
So it's like how you do it.
You're totally welcome.
Exactly.
To come down. 1 o'clock.
I'd have to start driving at like 7 a.m. or something.
No, you're only like 5 hours.
5 hours. I can't do math. I didn't try to do math, I should say.
You should go into some highly technical science field, maybe like aeronautics.
You were kind of right on the money, actually. 7, that would get you here about noon, right?
Yeah, there you go. In your face.
Well, at least now you know when you need to leave.
Yeah, 7 would probably be...
Michael's not going to be up at 7 a.m. Jesus.
Hell no. Yeah, so you can find Adam at the Maccast, maccast.com, at Maccast, and member.maccast.com.
Yep. And pretty regularly now on the Mac show on British Tech Network. Most weeks.
Cool. Yeah. And you can find me at Michael Johnston. I'm Michael/Michael on GetAppler, GetAppler.com. Check out my apps and all that. And of course, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. An iPod. A phone. A phone. A phone. And an internet communicator. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck. No.